The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, those individuals who suppress truth in a way are allowing wickedness to prevail over righteousness. Now let me say that again. For those people in this world that we live in that suppress truth and pick wickedness, sin, instead of picking truth or the Lord, it's the truth that sets us free, it is those people who are going to experience the wrath of God. You all have all heard the statement that hell hath no fury more so than a woman that is scorned, something along those lines, right? Listen, that is not true. There is nothing or no one more so than God in the wrath that he will give mankind for those people who die without a relationship with him. Now, just for a moment, we're not talking about the people that are outside these stained glass windows. I'm talking to you right now. Do you have a real and authentic personal relationship with Jesus? I'm not talking about your mama's religion. I'm not talking about it's Sunday in Oakland, so we got to go to the steeple house. I'm talking, have you understood in your life that you are to be the hands and feet of Christ, that it's more than just saying a prayer of Lord, forgive me and save me. It's walking with him daily. The Bible says that we will know that we are born again believers when the fruit is displayed in our life, and people will see fruit being given out in our life that represent the goodness of God. If you are not a Christian today, listen, that means in a way that you are choosing wickedness over truth, and God's wrath will be coming to you. You do not want that visit. You do not want the wrath of God on you. God in his wrath is guess what? He's undefeated. You cannot escape it. You can't hope that it disappears. When you die and breathe your last breath, you cannot slip in the back door of heaven. God's wrath is for everyone. And for people who choose wickedness over truth, that means, choose wickedness over righteousness, that means that we are suppressing truth. Here's the example that I think of. Think of a person that is in the process of making wine. Y'all have seen the old I Love Lucy, right? When you stand on the grapes and you squeeze the juice out, the weight of your body is extracting the juice from the grapes. So it is when we choose wickedness over righteousness. Guess what? It's the weight of sin that is extracting all of God's wrath to mankind. When you choose wickedness over righteousness. And the Bible says this, that when we do that, God's wrath is coming our way. You know, one of the reasons in which people pick and choose wickedness over sin is because they feel that they can see sin more so than God. Now watch this, there's a lot of people in here that are Christians, but we would also sometimes say, you know what, preacher? Man, I just wish that I could see God. Man, I know that he's there, but when I pray, it seems like it doesn't go anywhere. My prayers, it doesn't seem as if they're being answered. But I can't see God, but I can see sin. I can read it in the news. I can turn the TV on or my computer screen. I can pick up a bottle of pills. I can go and have this relationship that is outside the boundaries of marriage. I can see, touch, and feel sin. I just wish that I could see, feel, and touch God. Listen, friends, if that is you, you have bitten into a lie from the devil. You can see God. He is not invisible. He is visible. God is all around you. You can look to the person next to you and see that God is alive and well. The Bible says that we are created in his image. You're not created in the image of this old world. You are created in the image and the likeness of God. You can see God by the beauty. Thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Hopefully that the winter is disappearing soon. Amen? Hopefully spring is right around the corner. You can go outside and see the beauty of God through his creation. Friends, if you don't think that you can see, feel, or touch God, you have bitten into a lie. God is alive and well. The question, is he alive and well in your life? Is he alive and well in my life? There in Romans chapter 1, it talks about how it seems like he has invisible qualities that are about him. But you know what? They're not invisible. They're visible. As I said, you can touch yourself. You can touch the person next to you and see that God is alive. You know, it's really sad when people constantly and consistently choose to pick wickedness over righteousness. Now, here is the great temptation. The great temptation is to say, you know what? I never pick sin over God. I always pick God over sin. Wouldn't that be a great statement to make with all integrity if that was us that was able to say that? That every single day of your life, you choose righteousness over wickedness. We know that oftentimes we are the ones that turn our back on the Lord. In fact, with revival just ending, we always said that revival is not about the person that's sitting next to you. Revival is about you. And if you want revival to begin in your life, guess what? Choose righteousness over wickedness. And you know what happens? The Bible says that truth will prevail. You know what it is that sets us free? It's God's truth. It's not winning the lottery. It's not having a good day at work. It's not just calmness in the house. All those things are great, but guess what? It is the truth of God that will set you free. And God says when we choose righteousness, that is what, in fact, will make you free. How many Christians are here today and you still feel like you're held captive? You feel like that sin is beating you up. You know that you're born again. You know that God's grace and love has been applied to your life. But you also know that the fullness of God is just simply not being found in your life right now. Chances are, if that's the truth, you are allowing some sin in your life above the righteousness in your life. Friend, don't focus on the storm. Focus on the Savior. If you are a born again the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is He and He alone that has set you free. Anybody here like cop and robber movies besides myself? I love like Gunsmoke. Raise your hand if you love Gunsmoke. Every Christian that just raised their hand, you're a godly person, right? We love Gunsmoke. Here's what I like. I love movies with escape convicts. I know I watch too much TV. I'm weird. I love when people break out of jail and they're on the run. Here's the problem. You know what? Is an escape convict really a free man? He's not, right? He's always on the run. He's got to look over his shoulder. He's got to think before he does. And guess what? For those people who are choosing wickedness over righteousness, you know what they're like? They're like an escaped convict. They're like a prisoner that's on the run. They always have to think about what it is they're doing and where am I going to get caught in this sin? Here's a lie that I've had in my life, so I've got to cover this lie up with that lie or vice versa. And they're always constantly trying to figure out how they can kind of unfortunately keep digging deeper and deeper and deeper. You know, the life that we have found in Christ and Christ alone is this, is that we have been set free. We were all prisoners. God has allowed us, for those who have accepted His grace and understood with all their heart that the cross and the empty tomb is what has set us free. We are not an escaped convict. We have been set free. There's a big difference in a convict that's on the run and a free man. And friends, let me say this. You are looking and listening to a man right now that does not deserve God's grace. But I am a free man, not because I'm a good guy, but because I am a forgiven guy. And I pray that the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has set you free. I pray that spiritually speaking, you don't feel like an escaped convict. I pray that you understand and can experience that, hey, I am set free. The bondage of sin does not hold me anymore. I have been forgiven. And so I pray that you today would walk in God's goodness and His graciousness and that you would allow righteousness to prevail in your life over wickedness. Chapter 2, the first 6 verses, it starts talking about a great temptation that many people have in our life. And guess what? However many people, though we're absent a lot of folks today with spring break, every person here is guilty of what the first 6 verses talk about in chapter 2. We do a great job, church. Everybody look at me. We do a great job of pointing our finger. Boy, if this old fellow right here would just get his life straight and they're doing this and they're doing that and they need to do this and they need to do that. We are champions when it comes to judging other people. Now, here's one thing that we need to mention. God's word is God's word, amen? We don't need to water down our faith. We don't need to be ashamed of the gospel. We need to stand for the teachings of Christ, absolutely. But some of us would rather spend more time on judging another person rather than living in the fullness of God in which He created us to live. The Bible says, don't worry about other people and don't worry about trying to judge them. Why? Romans chapter 12, verse 19 says, it is not ours to avenge. The Lord will take care of that. God one day is not just a God of grace, love, and forgiveness. But friends, His wrath is real. As I said earlier, He's undefeated. If there is a person in this room right now, and you are allowing wickedness to prevail over righteousness, you're living a life that you don't need to live. Friends, experience God's grace so that you can be free. And Christians, if you want to please the heartbeat of God, if you want to get to the very essence, the very DNA of the teachings of Christ, quit pointing your finger at other people. You live for Christ. The greatest way that you can be an example to those that sometimes you're tempted to judge is just to simply quit judging them. And here's a novel idea. Love them. You love that person. Why? Because Christ Jesus loves you. But preacher, you don't understand who they are and what they do and how they act and where they go at night and what they do and what they look like and what they wear and what they don't wear. All of these things are valid questions to the good old U.S. of A. type people. But you know what I know? Is that God loves that person. God wants that person to be set free. Now, when I say don't judge, right, instead of judging, we need to love. But guess what we don't need to do? Now, this is hard for a lot of the Baptist life. We do a good job of loving people from a distance. Because when we step away from people and love them, we don't have to look at them, we don't have to smell them, we don't have to hang out with them, and we don't have to go to Shoney's with them. But when we love people up close, that is when they can see Christ Jesus in us. You know one of the reasons why a lot of Christians don't share their faith? It's sad. We should all share our faith daily. But one of the reasons why believers don't share their faith is because we love from a distance. We have no problem praying for people overseas, but we don't want to go overseas. We have no problem praying for the people across the street that don't go to church because we're over here and they're over there. But sometimes the greatest way in which we can love someone is to get close with them and let them see that we're not judging them, we're loving them. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 2, verse 6, look at that verse real quick. Could be one of the most important verses for all believers. And it's a stumbling block verse for a lot of us because a lot of us don't apply this verse to our life. Verse 6, chapter 2, Romans. God will give to each person according to what he has done. Anybody want to sign up for that? All the actions and all the reactions of your life one day are going to be retold to you by the creator of this universe. All the sin and the shortcoming that's in our life, God knows about that. But you know what also I know? It's almost an oxymoron. The Bible says that God has forgotten about all of our sin. That's scripture. The Bible says that he's thrown our sin into the sea of forgetfulness. But yet, for those people who are going to experience the wrath of God, meaning the people who had wickedness over righteousness, meaning people who died without a relationship with him, the wrath of God is going to come to them because truth had been suppressed in their life and they were never set free. Friends, listen. The greatest news, the greatest story ever told is of what Jesus Christ did for you. What Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. If you think that I am better than you just because I'm the one that stands in front of you and puts words together on a Sunday morning, if you think there's a better or more special place for me in heaven, I really believe you are sadly mistaken. I am a sinner that is saved by God's grace just as you are. I am called to preach. I am called to lead a congregation. But guess what? You are called also to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. You know what the problem is? I know better. I know who Jesus is. I know what he did for me in my life. But sometimes, you know what I choose to do? I choose to pick up wickedness more than I choose to pick up righteousness. Sometimes I allow sin to get around me closer than I get around God. And friends, that is not what God's desire is for anyone here. So here's the options that you have today. You could leave the Steeple House this morning feeling completely guilty that, Lord, I just always let you down. I always pick wickedness over righteousness, and the truth is I'm not going to change. Friends, if that's you, God's wrath is coming your way. But if you are a person that says, you know what, God, I'm a sinner just like everybody else in the world, everybody else in that Steeple House, God, would you teach me to pick up righteousness more so than wickedness? God, would you allow me to get rid of that sin, because that's why you died on that cross for me. And friends, if you are that person, I want you to know that the Bible says that the truth will set you free. And I pray that today that God's truth, not whatever you think that the traditions of man are, what you've heard growing up, but I pray that the scriptures, I pray that God's holy word would dwell in each of our hearts, and that we would know that because of the blood of the Lamb, that one day, one glorious day when we all get to heaven, God's wrath is going to escape us. Friends, if you think that you've gotten off the hook with a good doctor's report and you just kind of wipe your brow and say, "Whoo, that was close." Or if you just kind of had what you would call a lucky day and avoided an accident, "Whoo, boy, I'm glad that wasn't me." I tell you what, friends, can you imagine when we see the fury and when we see the wrath of God, and how because we are born again believers in our Lord Jesus Christ that we were able to walk around that and walk into the gate of heaven? Friends, what a glorious day that will be. Would you pray with me?